Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Last week, an Alaska Coach Tours bus backed into a totem pole at the Juneau Douglas City Museum and drove off. Witnesses called the museum to report the accident. There's minimal damage to the pole, and city engineers made sure it was stable. But for the son of the man who carved the 57-year-old totem pole, the accident was a reminder of what this piece means to him and his father's legacy. KTOO's Yvonne Crumery has more.
Brian Wallace stands on the sidewalk near the museum. He's looking at skid marks on the ground where a tour bus jumped the curb trying to turn around on the narrow two-way street.
Willem, I was assuming the worst.
His father, Amos Wallace, carved the pole when Brian was a kid. The pole, also known as Kutia, is one of the oldest in downtown Juneau. It stood outside the museum for over 50 years. Wallace says he remembers helping his dad with it, pulling large patches of bark off the felled tree trunk. Amos died 20 years ago. Wallace rushed to the museum the moment he had a break from work after hearing about the accident. Thankfully, the damage is minimal. The pole was knocked askew and dented, and city engineers were able to straighten it again. But Wallace says this pole is irreplaceable.
The dent is not that big, but, well, if you dent a little Volkswagen Bug, no big deal. You can get it fixed. This, it's one of a kind. If something terrible happens to it, it's gone, you know? You know, part of my dad's legacy would be gone.
And this isn't the first time Wallace has seen someone damage the pole.
20 years ago, I was driving by and I saw a couple clowns who had climbed up on this and were getting their family photo taken. I slammed the brakes right there, got out of my truck and came and I got them off. And that was knocked off by one of the boys that was on top of it.
He's pointing to another small dent on the pole. Last summer, the Alaska Heritage Institute got reports that cruise tourists were climbing on some of the new poles along the Seawalk. They put up signage about the importance and sacredness of the poles to Southeast Alaska Native people. For Wallace, this pole matters on a deeply personal level, too.
You know, this thing's real near and dear to me. I remember Dad carving it when I was 6 years old in 1967. And it's a great sense of pride for me every time I come by and have a look at that. I says, yeah, my dad did that.
City Museum Director Beth Wagel says Alaska Coach Tours representatives came to the museum and told her the driver was trying to get to the Alaska State Museum and got confused, then tried to turn around when they realized the error.
We are really grateful to the community for alerting us immediately to what they witnessed, and that we're grateful to the tour company for being so responsive and helpful in resolving any issues that have resulted from the accident.
A representative from Alaska Coach Tours said in an email that the driver reported the accident to management and that the company cannot comment on whether or not the driver is still with Alaska Coach Tours. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
And now, Naomi Michelson shares her reflections on the practice of respectful harvesting for this week's Garden Talk.
My Tlingit name is Kase, after my grandmother, and Dao De U, after my great-grandmother. I'm Wishkitan, and I'm from the Shark House. And originally, our families were from Berners Bay, and we are Occoquan. And my father's people are Dakdaintan from the Huna area, also have European, Filipino, and Japanese descent. My English name is Naomi Michelson. I live here in Ketchikan, home of the Tontaquan and Tsanyaquan people. And I have 5 adult children and 9 grandchildren. Respectful harvesting can mean a lot to different people, and so I like just having discussions and talking about it with people, because I didn't really grow up talking about respectful harvesting. We didn't say, hey, let's go out and harvest respectfully. But I think more and more today we are, in today's world, it seems like things are changing so quickly that it is how we're talking and it is how we're going out. And we want starting with our young kids to kind of start with that idea that, before we even go out to harvest, who are the people that live in the land that we're harvesting, build a deeper understanding and connection to the people on whose land you are harvesting. And so for me here in Ketchikan, it would be that learning about the people here, the people of Saxman and Ketchikan, and the Tontaquan and Tsanyaquan people, and maybe even going out with them. And I had one of my first teachers here was Esther Shea, and she's passed now, but she was a wonderful Tlingit language instructor, and she taught me a lot about some of the plants on the beach. So I would say getting to know the people there in Juneau and the Akwan, and acknowledging and taking time to learn and explore the history there in Juneau, including the traditions and values and knowledge, and understanding the history of colonization as well, and how it continues to impact us today. And these guidelines you can find online. I'll give them to you. You can put a link up. But the next one is to prepare yourself spiritually. And I think a lot of plant books today, they might have identification. They might tell you about how to use them. They might have beautiful pictures. But a lot of our books today kind of skip out that the spiritual aspect and that connection that we all have with this land and the earth. And so it's something that the Kayani sisters who created the Respectful Harvesting Guidelines thought it was really important to put in there. Some people say a blessing or a song, a prayer. They might meditate. They might talk or sing to the plant. They might announce to the ancestors that they're there. So some people even said that their grandmother told stories the night before about the plant that they were going to harvest, and they would dream about this plant. And so I guess always just going out in a good way, trying to be, we don't want to go out angry or in a bad mood. next is, and these are in any, order, of course, but choosing your words carefully. I see it a lot in Juneau, especially with a beautiful language being taught in the schools at all levels. And so many people that are eager to learn the indigenous languages. And I could see the young children really changing. And it brings me a lot of hope to see that there's so much emphasis on teaching our young children the language and how important it is for us to, as indigenous people, to feel like we belong, and that we are a part of this, this beautiful place that we live in. So choosing your words carefully can mean a lot of different things as well. Many videos and stories talk about the plants. You could learn the words of the plants in the Tlingit language, or Haida, Hodkil, or Tsimshian. You could express gratitude in different languages. So those are always easy to learn, to say gunakchish, hawa, doikshin. Those types of words go a long way. And just practicing and developing our skills to become confident about talking to the plants and with each other as well. But today you can take a lot of these language classes for free. And I'm seeing the young children. I have a friend in Juneau, George Holly. He's been working with a lot of the young children, and they're creating songs around the plants and the environment around them. And so it's okay to create songs as well. Another part of respectful harvesting is honoring and respecting your teachers. So in my life, I've been able to learn from many elders and many young people as well. And I'm still learning. And I try to always acknowledge that when I'm talking about something that they've shown me. And so, for example, Holly Churchill was one of my teachers when I learned how to gather cedar bark. And so I always acknowledge that. Rita Blumenstein was one of my teachers around the plants. And so I acknowledge her as one of my teachers. And so always acknowledging, the people of the land, the people that were your teachers. And I always would even gather for them as well, especially when they became older. And anytime I went out to harvest, I would gather something for somebody that I wanted to share with. And anytime I went to Anchorage to go see Rita, I would always bring plants that she didn't have